So we're talking about God's messengers, chapter 15 in the story. If you haven't been reading along with us, we are in a 31-week journey from cover to cover, chronological order of what the Bible is all about. As you look at this warning label, you notice how we're like a culture that loves warning labels? I mean, there is warning labels stuck on every thing. I'm surprised there's not one on these chairs in front of you, a warning label. There probably is on the bottom. But the warning labels have gotten ridiculous. So I pointed out some of those right here. This one, do not put any persons in this washer. That's for like brothers not putting their sisters in. And then this next one I thought would be good for the baby dedication here. Instructions on checking a baby's diaper. Don't put your hand down in. That's a good message. The next one here is about crocodiles, and you want to stay behind the fence. It's a good thing to do. Don't talk to the crocodiles. Don't swim with the crocodiles. Don't run from them, and don't pet them. So that's just a good warning sign there. Another one here. Don't hold the wrong end of a chainsaw. It's just kind of good tip. But some of them are like warnings that we should get. You know, you need some warnings, and some of them are ridiculous. Some of them are very clear. Some of them just take common sense when we have warnings. But when we talk about this section of the story, chapter 15, we're talking about God's messengers, and we look at the prophets. Now, this is the part of the Bible where people start to stop reading because it's confusing. What order are these all in? We've got some of these prophets that are talked about in 1 and 2 Kings, and then you've got all of kind of David's story in the middle, and then you've got some of these prophets all over the place. It's hard to make sense chronologically about all these prophets. And so it gets confusing about this stage of the Bible. But prophets were not necessarily somebody that comes in and tells the future, although that's part of it. A prophet is someone who speaks for God, speaks God's message to a people that desperately needs to hear it, whether it's an instruction, a warning, a correction. But as we look at the prophets as God's messengers, they teach us something about who God is. And so we don't want to breeze over the prophets, even though it's hard to make sense of them because they're not in chronological order in your Bible. But they teach us something about who God is. And so it's important to pay attention to them. A couple weeks ago, January 28th, I think it was, when we talked about Solomon, we talked about idolatry. And Solomon, who was given the kingdom of David, and it was in great order. It was huge. It was influential. It was in a time of peace. It was what God wanted in a nation so that he could show himself to the rest of the world, so that that nation could show the world who God is. But we know with Solomon, there were things that tore his heart away from God, that divided his heart. There were idols that came into play. And this is what we said is a definition of idol. Anything more fundamental than God to your happiness, meaning in life, or identity. So they had golden calves and prophets of Baal and Baal worship and different things like that. We don't necessarily see that in our culture. But there are idols that we serve. They're just different. They're just different idols. But anything that becomes more fundamental to our happiness, our meaning in life, or our identity. We said some questions that help us get to what some of these things are. Because essentially what idolatry does is it puts our heart and our love out of order. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. It's a heart that's out of order. The things that we should love, We don't love as much, and we put other things in that place, and so we have a heart out of order, and that a heart out of order brings consequences with it, and it separates us from God, who was originally supposed to be that main place in our heart. So here's some questions that help us get at these idols. What are you most disappointed with? And these aren't necessarily, I'm not saying that these are idols, but they're things that are that can get out of order quickly if we don't keep them in check. Things you're disappointed with. What do you sacrifice your time and money for? Time and money are probably our most valuable assets. And so we sacrifice them for something. What is that? And there are things that we do with our time that's healthy and good. But when it gets out of order, things start to go bad. Has consequences to it. What do you worry about? Keep going through the list here. Where do you go when you're hurt? This is an interesting one because when you're hurt, you need something quick to either numb the pain or get rid of it or fix it. And oftentimes when we're hurt, what we go to can take the place of that idol. What makes you mad? When you're most frustrated, when things aren't going your way, what are you mad at? What brings you the most joy? There are things in life that bring us, I mean, this the baby dedication here, that brought us joy, didn't it? But at times, our joys can override what our first love should be, Deuteronomy 6. And then whose applause do you long for? That's a tough one. That's a tough one. It's a tough one for me. Whose applause do I long for? Could be a parent, could be a boss, could be a friend. Could be a person you're trying to impress. Could be just people in general. So we look at those and we say, is there anything more fundamental than God to my happiness, meaning, life, or identity? And we want to have our heart ordered right. And this is what the prophets came to say, is turn. If you continue to live this way, things are not going to go good. There's consequences to this. There's destruction that lies ahead. And so we have the split. So after Solomon, it split into the northern and southern kingdom. Israel, which was the 10 tribes, and there was Judah, which is two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And out of these tribes, you have Rehoboam and Jeroboam, which we talked about last week, and how it was ripped apart. And that was the beginning of the end for them as far as being the nation that would show everyone who God is. And so it's ripped apart, and God sends these prophets to speak to the nation of Israel or to Judah. And so they have a message for them. The first on the scene here was after Jeroboam in Israel, there were bad king after bad king after bad king. So they all did evil in the eyes of the Lord. But there was one who did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than anybody else. And this was Ahab. Ahab was married to Jezebel. And they set up all over Israel these idols of Baal and Asherah. And it was in the eyes of God, when you fail to do of the Ten Commandments, Commandment 1 and Commandment 2, which is what they're doing here, things are going to go bad for them. So Elijah comes and he says to Ahab, Baal, who is the god of weather, God's going to make it stop raining for 3 years. You're going to have a drought. You're not even going to have dew on the ground. And it's interesting that it's the god of weather, because God is stronger than this god of weather. He's the god of weather. And he says, I'm not going to make it rain for 3 years. And so the story kind of goes, Elijah comes back after 3 years and goes to Ahab. And he says, I want you to take all your prophets of Baal and Asherah, and let's go up on Mount Carmel and settle this once and for all. Once and for all. And so if you put up the scripture text here, this is what he says. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They said nothing probably because they wanted to follow both. They wanted to kind of just do whatever they wanted to do here. So Elijah says, you go build your altar, and what you're going to do is you're going to call for this God of Baal to come down and burn this up. I don't want you to set it on fire. And so they went, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, and they called out to their God, and Elijah gets to a place where he's like, is your God sleeping? What's going on here? Where is he? Maybe call out louder. Maybe he can't hear you. And so they call out louder, nothing. And so then Elijah builds his altar and makes it just absolutely impossible, pours water upon water and water on this. And we're talking about lightning here. This is the God of weather here, but God is way more powerful than any God of weather. He is the God of weather. And so he calls upon God and he says, show these people who you are. And a lightning strike from heaven, fire comes from heaven and burns it completely up. Licks up the water that was in the trenches. And they all say this. They all cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So what we learn from Elijah about God is that he's powerful. And he is there. He's not asleep. We don't need to speak louder for him to hear us. He is here. He is here and he is a powerful God. As we move on through the other prophets, and there's so much in this book, this chapter 15, there's so much. I mean, we could go 100 different directions with this. But the next one I want to look at is Hosea. And Hosea starts out by living his life as a prophecy to the people of Israel. So through his life, not necessarily through his words, but through his actions, he's telling Israel about where they're at and what's really going on here. So Hosea, God tells Hosea, and it's here in the scripture, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go and marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. And so he says, go marry Gomer. That's a weird name. Go marry Gomer. She's going to be unfaithful. And in this, I want to teach the people about who I am through you. And so Hosea marries her. He has three children. Even in the children's name, God is speaking something to the Israelites. And in chapter 3, we see that she does it. She goes and she's unfaithful. She commits adultery on this man that is being faithful and loving her and building this family. And she does exactly what God says she would do, because that's what Israel has done. They're in a committed covenant relationship. And it's broken. And it's broken. And it breaks God's heart. Just like this broke Hosea's heart. But this is what I love about this story. Is the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. Go buy her back. At this point, she had been gone for a while and lived this lifestyle. And she became entrapped by it. It even says that that she's now a prostitute, enslaved by her decisions to move away from this committed relationship. So she commits adultery, but it takes control of her life and it imprisons her. And so God instructs Hosea to go and purchase her back, and he didn't purchase her for very much. It was a small amount because she wasn't worth anything anymore except to Hosea. To him, she was worth everything. And so he goes and forgives her and brings her back and purchases her and says, you'll be committed. I'm going to purchase you to live with me, and I'm going to live with you back in this covenant. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to rescue you, even though you may not even want to be rescued. But he goes after her. What do we learn? We learn that God is willing to buy us back, that we're valuable to him, and that he will spend whatever it takes to redeem us as his own, even though in our hearts we're unfaithful. And so this story of Hosea gives us the story really from Abraham to the end of the Bible. You have a people promised to show who God is to the world and be a blessing to all nations. And we start to see that with David's kingdom and into Solomon's, and then it's split and they go their different ways and they walk away from the Lord, king after king after king. And maybe you have one king that comes back and has a heart after the Lord. But it keeps going, and these prophets keep coming and speaking and saying, come back, come back. Hosea 14 is that same message. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips praise to God. But this is a God that keeps coming after us. KP's made this prayer shawl, and in it is light and dark. And so her description was is that God keeps speaking the light into these dark kings and these people that refuse to follow him. But he continues on speaking to them, going after them, warning them, helping them to come back. And I think sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we say, man, God is harsh. But if you look at it from this perspective, God is continually pursuing. And as we look at the history on forward, so that it's split, both kingdoms decide to follow after other gods, follow after idols. The kingdom of Israel is decimated by Assyria. The kingdom of Judah is taken into exile by Babylon. They're ripped from their homes. They're destroyed. The kingdom falls. But God sends Jesus, his son, as a payment to redeem us, to buy us back. And he buys us so that we belong to him. And he keeps doing that. He keeps pursuing us. That's what kind of God we serve. And one day all will be restored. Our relationships will be fully restored. And when we look at these messages from these prophets, the message is clear, but it can be easily ignored. We have so much in our culture right now that helps distract us from the message, that pulls our hearts away from God's heart. There's so much. So how can we pursue God and his heart and get those things that pull our hearts away in a different order? keep each other in check, build the kind of community that walks alongside of one another. And then may we be the voices of God, the messengers of God, the bright light that's spoken into the darkness here in Wabash, in Indiana, in our country, in our world. Many of you are doing this. You are speaking light into darkness through the way you live your life, like Hosea. He lived his life with God's heart towards us, and we learn from that.